At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Come. Welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. I am your host, Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on X, the Everything app. It's all happening on X at JWright929. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on the Everything app at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Good afternoon, Jeffrey.
Let's tell everybody we got coming up on the program. DeMichael going to take a weekend trip, so he's on a well-earned vacation, so it's just going to be George and I hanging out with you here on a Friday. Blake Topmeyer is going to join us to kick off hour number three. We'll discuss everything going on in the world of college sports with Blake when he joins us at 2 o'clock. In just a moment, we'll get into what are we talking about on Monday. We will preview the weekend. Of course, it will be game week for the University of Memphis as they will take on UNLV week zero. As they will begin their campaign. Also, more legal rulings and more filings happened.
Oh boy, our favorite.
We're going to try to determine, maybe that's a game we should play, like, who is eligible?
I feel like the game is way too hard for us.
I did actually see The Athletic did have a quiz of, like, basically, they would...
Do you know your rulings?
They would read out, like, the... They'd take away the names, but the details of a particular eligibility case, and you had to guess whether or not said player was eligible.
Is this one
I got
of the,
8 of 9.
Is this one of the gift articles? Like, can I see this on here?
That's a great question. I don't know if it is.
Because I can do it on my phone, I'm sure. Let me see if I can grab it. This would be fun because I haven't seen this. I have not done this.
Well, save it. We'll play.
Okay.
We will play. Next segment, we will discuss what we learned this weekend or what we learned this week. And I got to tell you, George, I was getting some knowledge this week. There was a lot that we learned this week that I'm excited to discuss with you. We'll get into the list to kick off the second hour. Again, Blake Topmeyer going to join us at 2 o'clock. Then we will pick hour 5 for the weekend. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. So I think let's start first with Tiger football because it's a fascinating week one, or week zero, if you will, because I think I would make the case it's the most anticipated season opener since 2019 when Memphis opened with Ole Miss. There was, I think it was 23, was it 23 or 22 they opened in Starkville?
It's a great question.
Oh, so 25 is the first, I want to say it's 23 because I want to say it was Seth's second year.
2023, okay. It looks like they opened with Bethune-Cookman.
Okay, so it was 22 then.
22, they opened, yes, in okay. Starkville.
I just do not recall that one having the hoopla. Now, it was also a weird game where they played at night in Starkville. There was a huge rain delay that took out all the momentum. But also, very quickly, you could tell Mississippi State was a better football team. Like, it did not take long to discover that.
Right.
There have obviously been early season big games, but I'm talking pure season opener. I think for me, this is the most anticipated one since 2019. Now, it's not necessarily team specific. It's more of just the beginning of something new. But what also I think adds to the intrigue of this game is the fact that it is significant.
Incredibly significant.
And we've talked about the weirdness of the Tiger football schedule and the fact that through week three, you might have removed yourself from conversation. Right. Now, and you haven't even played a conference game yet. And that doesn't mean that there still wouldn't be things to play for, because I do think if this team gets into the conference title race and plays in the game, I do think that that is an important, significant step, because you would then establish we've already done something in year one that the predecessor did.
Right.
And I do think that that points to momentum, because I just firmly believe more than ever, momentum matters in college football, simply because that's how you get everybody on board to write the checks.
In today's day and age, and it isn't even the thought with momentum kind of on the whole. What I find it so interesting with that is that it is no longer truly just week to week to week. It's full on season to season to season, and even beyond that. I mean, because it felt like there was a stagnation at the end with Silverfield, where you could totally convince me, hey, some of these big donors might not be coming back in the same way that they would have been had there been a higher level of success. Well, now there's a kind of a re-energization. Like, we seem to have a little bit of positive push from this incoming coaching staff that has already shown at essentially the same level. Maybe, you know, you could certainly argue at a slightly lower level in the same realm. Like, you're in the same group of conferences, but they've shown a level of success at this level.
And at multiple jobs.
Right.
Like,
back-to-back stops in the same conference.
I would say, look at this. Like, Marshall decided, I think, unwisely.
I would agree.
They believed that they could do better. How are they going?
Not great.
Southern Miss, again, it had been, I think there are other complications involved.
Yes.
But he clearly did a better job at Southern Miss than had been the recent success prior.
Right.
But you are spot on in that it does feel like college coaches are now like on these 9-month indictment periods.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't even, you're not really building that much goodwill.
Oh, and it can flip.
Correct.
On, you know.
Correct.
Week to week.
And so even if Memphis, let's say, loses two heartbreakers and then beats Arkansas State in between. So loses at UNLV a heartbreaker and loses at Boise State a heartbreaker. I still believe there will be, for Huff and for the program and the Memphis era under Charles Huff, there's still plenty to play for.
Absolutely.
Because you will be building on that. However, I also understand from a fan standpoint, okay.
We just started 1-2.
Correct.
We lost, what we hear, and not even just here, but nationally in the media, what has been put out as two of the most important games nationwide in terms of the college football playoff race for teams outside the Power Four.
And especially when you consider in the G6, much of the playoff discussion happens early, because most of the
out of conference.
It's the non-conference heads. Exactly. And it typically happens early in the season. So therefore the picture gets painted far earlier.
Right.
So, you know, if you're one of the SEC teams or you're one of the Big Ten teams, you can still play yourself out much later into the season, because your conference race largely determines it. Whereas in the G6, it's mostly your non-conference. Right. And then avoiding the landmines.
I was going to say, it's that, and I think it also comes down to, in a way, the strength of the specific conference that you happen to play in.
Yes, I will say that would be a fascinating debate this year because we can anticipate how we think the leagues are going to be sized up, but I think it is unclear at this moment. Like, I think if you were handicapping the field, you would say the Pac-12 right now is going to get the benefit of the doubt. It seems like early. I'm not saying that's what I would predict. I actually think it would be, I think the Pac-12 could wind up being in that spot where there's a lot of cannibalism. And
oh, for sure. Like there, to me, there's never a doubt in that at all that there's going to be some self-cannibalism there.
Correct. And so I think it's entirely possible that the American has a that the American could wind up being keeping the status that it had up until this year, which is benefit of the doubt, all things being equal, the American's going to get the spot.
What do we do with the Mountain West? Because I think they land in a similar spot to the Pac-12, but there are some really like talented and consistent programs in the Mountain West.
I have no idea because I think it's fair to say this. Nobody really won in the Pac-12 Mountain West arms race.
No, I agree.
I mean, I know,
think for those two, it would take one of the teams like fully separating themselves kind of from the rest of the pack. And I don't necessarily, like in the Mountain West specifically, I don't know that there's a team there that can do that.
I mean, I think the early thought is that it is going to be UNLV.
But UNLV, I mean, we talked about their schedule yesterday. They do not have an easy slate early. They take on Memphis in week zero. Then they go to Hawaii. And even then, I mean,
I think they have games.
They are on the road to North Texas.
I think they're at New Mexico.
Yes, at New Mexico.
And it's late in the season, right?
Yeah, that is November 14th. They are also at San Jose State, at Air Force this year. And we still have no idea. What do we do with the North Dakota State?
I do not know, because what we've typically seen is the teams that move up, initially they exceed expectations.
Right.
It's kind of year. It's like check in years two and three to really see the state of the program. But I don't see why.
North Dakota State has been so stable and so consistent, like at their previous level. I don't see why they can't continue that. Like, the program seems to have a level of not just stability, but strength.
Yeah, they had, I don't know if it's peak of its powers.
Right.
Like, I think probably the mid-2010s is probably peak of its powers. But it is still a program that is extremely invested.
Oh, and absolutely.
They have, there is proof of concept there. Also, do not forget, Northern Illinois in the Mountain West.
Mm-hmm.
And Sacramento State is in the MAC. That is a true statement.
Yes, it is.
That is factually correct.
God, that's weird.
I got asked a trivia question on Wednesday. What league is Sacramento State in? The fact that I was able to answer it was a sobering moment. It was not a point of pride. It was a point of, why on earth do I know that? It's like if I could have just focused my attention onto something profitable, I would not be talking to you right now.
Would you care to guess? I mean, do you know every team in the MAC, like off the top of your head?
All right, here we go. I think they got rid of divisions.
I'm just looking at straight up the Mid-American Conference,
all right,
the good old MAC.
Hold on. Correct me if I'm wrong. UMass is back.
It is.
Okay. I'll start up top. Buffalo?
Yep.
UMass?
Yep.
All right, let's get into the Ohios. All right, we've got Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Toledo.
Yep.
Kent State.
Yep.
Bowling Green.
Yep.
All right, let's go to the Michigans. Eastern Michigan, Western Michigan, Central Michigan.
Those are the three.
Have I missed? How many more outstanding do I have?
One, two, and I'll give you Sacramento because you've
all right, Sacramento
it.
State.
You've got two left.
All right, let me.
One has an iconic and elite logo.
Did I say Toledo?
You did.
Okay. There's nothing in Pennsylvania. Let's see. Ball State.
Yes, there you go. There's a logo I like. It is for being just the Cardinals.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very good logo. You got one more. And you got one that
did I clear out Ohio?
No. Well, no.
All right. Toledo, Kent State, Akron.
There you go.
All right.
There's the MAC.
There we go.
Yeah, we're talking about the Mid-American Conference, by the way, with Buffalo, UMass, and then do not forget Sacramento State.
Correct.
That's where we are right now.
What a wonderful, wonderful set of circumstances we have. Now, on the flip side, Memphis is in a very interesting spot. Number one, if you do go and pull off, it would be a minor upset. But it's week one, and who the hell knows?
Right.
But if you go and you pull off a minor upset, you will come home, launch your new stadium against a regional foe, and it's off to the races. If you can handle business there, you then have 60 minutes in Boise, Idaho, to essentially take full control of a playoff berth. And then you're playing out the rest of the schedule. You probably, I would suspect at that point, you probably could avoid,
you have a mulligan.
You probably have one. And
I
think it has to be the right one.
Yeah, like, it can't be on the road at Charlotte.
Probably not. I don't know if that's actually possible. Now, I know you can make the argument, they lost to UAB last year.
New coach bump. Is that new coach bump or no Dilfer bump?
I would argue they have the interim bump. Also, Memphis quarterback hurt. Brandon Lewis gets hurt.
Yep.
And AJ didn't really start cooking until like it became panic time.
Yeah.
Like there was a lot of, we think we can manage this without having to have AJ play hero ball. And then they were wrong. And then AJ did have to play hero ball and damn near pulled it off. But I still think the makings are there to where you will have complete control. And it is this interesting spot where I don't know how much on-field success matters in wherever the future is headed, but I do know lack of success is a disqualifier. So you're now in this spot where you need to get football back rolling.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to get basketball back rolling. And I can't think of a better way to start this thing off than to go on the road on a game in which the entire country is going to be watching and you get to put your best foot forward. Anything else preview-wise, because I don't suspect, as Jonah has mentioned, I do not suspect we will learn who the starting quarterback is next week.
No.
I think we will. I suspect Saturday Thamel fires off a tweet.
Do we even get to that point?
That would be my, I'll call my shot. My suspicion is Thamel on Saturday. Do we have game day for week zero?
I don't think so.
There will be at least be the studio show, right?
Oh, because it's on Fox, so.
But what I'm saying is.
Are there any ESPN games?
Carolina and TCU, I think, is ESPN. Because I think
Isn't that the one in Dublin?
That's
though?
In Dublin, and I believe
that's at 11 a.m.
Correct. That's where we start the day.
The other ESPN game is NC State and Virginia, and
Not a conference game.
I was about to ask, is that the one that's non-con?
That was the non-con that was supposed to be played in Brazil.
Did they ever give us a reason why they moved it from Brazil?
Logistics. I think it was the Brazil stadium problem.
Gotcha. I don't even remember. Was that the one in Rio, or was that one of the other
random ones?
Well,
that was my other question. Like, so they were fine for the NFL?
Did they have more lead-up, I guess? I mean...
How much... I presumed it was a soccer stadium. I would think retrofitting a soccer stadium and putting paint on for a football is easier than the reverse of trying to make a football stadium soccer specific.
Let's see. It was definitely a soccer stadium. It was going to be at Nilton Santos,
of course,
in Rio. Yeah, this is just a soccer stadium. I don't know what happened with the logistics here.
I also just wondered if...
They just didn't want to bring a bunch of college kids to Rio?
I wondered if there was financial promises made, because, like, I do think when you go to Ireland, Aer Lingus, I think, is paying for a lot of it.
Yeah.
I think there is an appearance fee. My suspicion is Brazil looked at ticket sales, and then they probably saw what they were on the hook for and tried to find a way out. Anything else Tiger football that we'll talk that you think we're talking Monday?
I mean, other than just kind of, like we've said, this game and week three are really the table setters, not just for the Tigers, but really for the state of the G6 going forward through the season. I think that's where we're really going to land on after, week zero. Just because I got asked yesterday,
all right,
I'm going to ask you straight up, and I'm not going to, who's the starting quarterback?
I'm going Marcus Stokes.
So did I.
Now, I did see, who was it? Somebody was making predictions, and I took note that included Aaron Noland. Now, I'm not saying this person was reporting. I think it's entirely possible he saw the name Aaron Noland. And
said,
was like,
oh, I know that name.
That's who's going to be there.
Yeah.
Especially also when you break it down. It's like Aaron Noland. What did we go? Ohio State and then South Carolina?
Believe that's right.
Big time recruit. And then you look at it on paper. The other guy there is a D2 transfer.
I think there could have been, as we know,
there is context for why he was a D2.
D2 transfer.
Correct.
Who was also a very highly touted prospect.
Correct. Originally committed to Florida.
Things happen.
Don't go live, y'all. Don't go live.
If you're going to do things, just don't do it on the internet.
Lesson for all the kids out there. I'm still going Stokes because my default setting is who was actively brought in.
Right.
His felt more targeted than Nolan's. Nolan's felt like, we got a place to play. Come on.
Now, I will say, I will still full-on make the argument, this one to me feels like an actual quarterback like competition as opposed to some of the other ones we've seen around the country.
I certainly believe it has been made to feel that way. I'm more curious if it was or if it was an illusion. Because in the end, one thing we do know, quarterback depth is a problem.
Across the country, if you have
the opportunity to keep both, you kind of have to do whatever you can to do so. And so, because oftentimes when you wind up in a real quarterback battle, that is not a good thing. Oftentimes what happens is when you have a quarterback battle, the guy that you wanted to be your guy
is not performing.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Maybe it only feels a little bit different because it's not one guy that they're bringing in. It's two guys that they're bringing in. Like, it's a completely new staff. We've heard Huff say it how many times now that he's having to bring in over 70 transfers to fill out the whole roster. Like, with this much turnover?
I think also that it feels that way because there's a lack of information.
Well,
nobody's seeing practice, and yeah. So when nobody's seeing practice, it has allowed them to
kind of get away with just saying, "Oh, it's a quarterback competition. We're seeing how it goes through practice, and we're rolling with it from there."
Yeah,
I am. By the way, with you, like I at this point, I think it's Marcus Stokes. I think that's where we're going to end up going. Now, would it shock me if, I don't know if it changes or if we just see more Aaron Nolan against Arkansas State, depending on how that game goes? I could see that.
So if they did the, if they would have had the UT Martin game second, you could have talked me into a universe where Marcus starts UNLV.
Yeah.
And Nolan starts UT Martin. I do not think. Like if you fart around, I think Arkansas State's good enough to beat you. Like I don't know if you can really do that.
What if it's just an absolute beatdown by halftime?
I mean, then I think he'll play no matter what. Like I do think, I mean, because that's the other thing, you don't really have to worry about whether or not he plays too many games.
Yeah, I mean
theoretically.
Theoretically.
The eligibility rules have changed, so you're not worried about burning a red shirt.
Right. Well, is that even much of a thing anymore?
Which brings us to...
something else we've learned.
Who is eligible? Because we learned first today that... I want to make sure I got... okay. The 10th Circuit Court of Appeals granted the NCAA a stay Friday morning... In an order that reverses the federal judge's decision that previously opened the door for all athletes who started in college in 2022-2023, the academic year, and played four consecutive seasons to return for a fifth season. The stay does not wipe out dozens of athletes who have successfully petitioned for restraining orders to play a fifth season in state courts around the country. So... if you are going, what does this mean? Here's the best I got for you. All right, George, shout out to Field of 68, who did a very nice job of, Field of 68 did a very nice job of accounting for the basketball players. Here are the basketball players that this would apply to. Number one, Seth Trimble.
That's a big one, especially for Memphis.
Amari Monroe at Syracuse.
Okay.
Colby King at Auburn.
That was a pickup.
Antoine Wolfolt at Maryland. Or is that Miami of Ohio? That might be Miami of Ohio. Elijah Mahi at Santa Clara. Kenny Noland at Michigan. Tavari Johnson at Charleston. Brennan Laurent at West Virginia. Donovan Atwell at Texas Tech. Malik Ewan at Oregon. Javon Bennett at Gonzaga, Denzel Aberdeen at Florida. Oh my God.
Philip
Borovacannon?
Is that it?
I think you're right. Borovacannon. At Xavier.
That's a last name.
Josh Reed, thanks for that one. Trey Campbell at Utah. And Malik Messina Moore at Louisville. Or no, I'm sorry. That
no, what that's, what bird is that?
Is that Illinois State?
Oh my God, is it?
Yeah, do you know which? I think it is a Cardinal.
That is, no, it's funny enough. It is a Cardinal. It is Illinois State. They are not the Cardinals, though.
They like the red?
Illinois State Redbirds.
Redbirds. Can you do me a little favor?
Yeah.
Can you look up and see if, like, at one time they were the Indians?
Oh, that's a great show.
Usually anytime you get random bird or random color, it's at some point they were the Indians.
They don't even use that same logo anymore. Like the little one
The one that Field of 68 put
yeah.
out. Here's who it would also apply to, according to The Athletic. Indiana defensive lineman Stephen Daly. Kellen Wyatt also included.
Okay, I see why they changed it.
Were they the Redskins?
No. somehow even goofier. So they became the Redbirds in 1923.
All right.
Prior to that, unofficial nicknames of the Fighting Teachers and the Pedagogues.
So there must have been a teacher's college and foundation.
Yeah, and then in 23, they adopted the Redbirds name and their mascot, Reggie Redbird.
Okay. That's way farther back than I would have suspected.
The Fighting Teachers is hilarious.
Arizona running back Ishmael.
I can't help this one.
I think it's Motti. Cole. I think it's Hughes. I think it's Cole Hudson.
Yeah.
The Texas, he tried to go pro, came back. His is, I think, Louisiana. I think he's part of Louisiana. Which also, this was a breaking ball that I did not see coming. Technically, these schools are having to enter the players into the portal themselves, not the player.
Yeah, we got that note last night?
I think Tom Mars and Michael McCann, I think, were going back and forth on the Everything app.
So this was the first one there, or this is a pretty long thread. So Tom Mars.
Yeah, Tom Mars cites the seventh paragraph in the restraining order. Paragraph 7 of the Louisiana TRO did not say that the plaintiffs could enter the transfer portal by requesting, quote, the member institution they last attended, end quote, to do so. Instead, it says athletes could request their member institution to enter their name in the portal, implying they would need to be enrolled as a full-time student to make that request. Then Michael McCann says, we're now in a world in college sports where people finish college and in some case graduate, then get a job and are now, quote, transferring by joining another college. I still go back to the funniest part of this all is Cleveland Browns tight end enters NCAA transfer portal.
Truly before yesterday, a sentence that had never been said before.
Correct. Then let's see. So I think it's fair to say even the Colorado guys, though, I presume they're going to file new lawsuits and attempt to get the same TRO. So
I would assume that's
what did today actually establish? I think the only thing today established that is if you are a part of the Colorado lawsuit, you are either going to have to file a new lawsuit or your hopes of playing are done. So I wonder what's going to happen.
No idea.
More lawsuits.
That's the only thing I can assume is more lawsuits.
All right, you ready for your quiz?
I have the quiz pulled up on my phone. I have the quiz.
I've got it for you here.
Okay.
This one, I feel confident that you will get this one.
Yeah, I've read the first one. I think I know this one.
You spent 4 seasons in Division II, but played in only 2 of them after apparently being hampered for two years by chronic tonsillitis. Then you became a breakout star in the SEC during a 5th season of college football. You could be a mid-round NFL draft pick, but the money is better as a college football star. Are you eligible for a 6th year?
Yes. I believe we are well aware of what case this is referencing.
You are indeed Trinidad Chambliss. You are eligible. Number 2. You played 4 years at a major football program, appearing in at least 5 games every season, but you were not picked in the NFL. NFL draft and didn't stick after going through rookie mini camps with 2 teams. Your school has room for you, but are you eligible?
We're going with yes.
You are indeed eligible because you are Cole Hudson.
There we go. Well, for now.
Correct.
At the time,
his is Louisiana.
Fair. Well, I mean,
let me tell you one that I don't think is going to stay.
The one in Louisiana. Uh-huh. Probably not.
Let me tell you the one I would bet on. You split 4 seasons across 2 SEC teams and went undrafted in April. This time you caught on with an NFL team, and you notched 2 sacks in your preseason debut against the New York Jets. But you're no lock to make the roster, and college teams could use a proven star. Can you still go back?
Sure can.
You absolutely can, because you would then be Jack Pyburn. You have a year of eligibility remaining, but you made thousands of bets on your own team and school at previous stops before signing a deal worth more than $4 million at your new school. Are you eligible?
I'm going to go with no.
You are not eligible, although I wondered if that one needed a technicality.
I do think that one needs an asterisk.
Because he technically was eligible, but then he withdrew his lawsuit. Therefore, becoming an... I think they're right. By the letter of the law, he has been declared ineligible.
By the letter of where we stand today, one Brendan Sorsby
correct.
Is ineligible.
You played professional basketball internationally and were selected in the 2023 NBA draft as a teenager. But after participating in NBA Summer League, you stayed overseas and did not play in any NBA or G League games. A college basketball team in need of depth wants to sign you midseason. Can you join the team?
Sure can.
You absolutely can.
Thank
especially
you,
at Baylor. You got a scholarship to a major college basketball program out of high school, and you played two seasons for them. You decided to go pro after your sophomore year, but after going undrafted, you spend the next 2.5 seasons in the G League, and although you signed a two-way contract with the San Antonio Spurs, you've yet to make your NBA debut. Your old team wants you back. Can you return to college hoops?
Is this one of the ones that you missed?
No, I did get this one right.
Okay.
I'll tell you the other one.
Because I am doing this alongside on my phone just for reference.
Yep.
I'm not going to... I clicked yes on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Which player is this?
This is Bediako.
Okay. Okay. Can we also get an asterisk on this one? Because he was for a minute.
Correct.
But then he wasn't.
Here's the one I actually missed. Although, I was more just mad at myself because I knew...
You know the player?
Well, no, I was upset with myself because I knew the rule, but was like, I don't know if it applied yet.
Okay.
You're a high school football star, but you skipped college after an MLB team picked you in the first round of the draft. 8 years later, your pro baseball career is winding down, and at 26, you wonder if you can still give college football a go. Can you?
I'm going with no.
That is correct.
Based on the current rule.
Correct.
Prior to the adoption of the 5-for-5, this would have been okay.
Correct.
Okay, so under the current rules, not allowed.
The reason why they threw 26 out there is the age. So technically, I think if you were 25, you could play a season. That is my interpretation.
I thought it would be 24. Is the interpretation not... it starts
25
at age,
and under?
Starts at age 19, I thought.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So then 5 years beyond your age 19 year would be 24 and younger. And this is referencing Jordan Adams at
correct.
SMU.
You're a fifth-year college football senior who blows out your knee before the 26 season opener, missing the entire season because of injury. Once the season is over, you request a medical hardship to return to college football in 2027 as a sixth-year senior. Do you meet the requirement for a medical redshirt?
No.
Correct. There is
under
no medical.
Current rules, no more medical redshirt waiver.
Correct. You're a former junior college player who, after three seasons at two FCS schools, the last one at Villanova, decides to challenge the NCAA rules that count JUCO towards your full seasons of competition. Your case is different from others taking aim at the new age-based rules. A judge in Ohio grants you an injunction that clears the way for you to play a fifth season. Can you return to your last school this season?
So, as I said, I'm answering these along. I got this one wrong.
Okay.
I went with yes. Can we get an explanation on the no?
The no is as simple as the Patriot League has its own rule, which will be interesting to monitor if indeed the SEC follows suit. So the essentially what happened is the Patriot League said, even though the courts say this, we are not allowing our members to do this, to take these players.
Okay, and the member institutions are kind of just following along
correct.
Suit. Okay, gotcha. Understandable.
But what will be fascinating to see is if the SEC, which has also stated
we don't want to do this, like this is not something we want to get involved in, we'll kind of see how that goes.
Correct.
And I will argue most likely sooner rather than later for the SEC.
I think you're correct. I mean, game, everybody starts playing in 2 weeks.
Not even that. It's just as much with the specific players that have decided to try and come back.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's discuss what we learned this week, because there was indeed a lot. It's one of my favorite segments of the week. What did we learn? We'll do it next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Hey, Little Bob here. Bob's Discount Furniture has the furniture you've waited 250 years for. We've got power reclining sofas as low as $7.99, five-piece dining sets as low as $3.99, Bob-O-Pedic mattresses for as low as $2.99, and of course, feature-packed bestsellers like my Playday sectional with pop-up sleeper sofa. So stop in or shop mybobs.com to see where America shops for furniture.
Oh, my Bob!
Now open in Vestal.
All right, George, you might have thought that this wasn't the busiest of weeks for sports news, but there was still plenty to learn this week. A few things that I learned this week. Number one, if you are going to have a fraternity-based cocaine ring, do not put your entire operation on Snapchat. I have to ask you, as someone with ties to the old country, did you feel like this young man was targeted simply because his name was Agostino Abatiello?
I don't know if that's why he was targeted or if he was targeted because he was slinging dope.
Agostino Abatiello graduated from the prestigious Catholic all-boys school on Long Island,
shocking,
according to the BBC. During high school, he listed himself as a, quote, life coach, the type who lived by the school's moral code of doing the right thing at the right time because it was the right thing to do, regardless of who's watching, also known as the definition of character. At Penn State, however, his adherence to that motto has come under question. Abatiello, 24, was arrested and charged this week and accused of being a ringleader of a drug-dealing enterprise involving 13 current and former students, many members of the local fraternities, all-male organizations on many U.S. campuses. In the U.S., some fraternities are notorious for putting prospective members through elaborate ritual initiations known as hazing that can sometimes turn deadly. Not sure why that was included.
Got to have some more buzz in there. Come on, it can't all just be about a drug ring. Like, that doesn't tie people in enough.
The alleged suspects utilized apps like Snapchat and Venmo as usernames tied to their actual names ultimately helped them get caught. They allegedly enlisted fraternity brothers and made some prospective fraternity members cut and package the cocaine. That's called free labor. It's business practice. One of the ringleaders, when officers stormed his fraternity house, allegedly thought he was being pranked until the police used a stun gun on him as they uncovered a haul of drugs and a weapon.
Yeah, that'll do it. That will definitely get you tased. So what is, real quick.
So
one of the things we Abatiello, opened the show on.
Abatiello is a Sigma Chi.
Uh-huh.
But it seems like they caught the Delta Upsilon.
Look, this is a multi-organizational ring.
This sounds like it was a wide-reaching business enterprise.
Just for reference, because we opened the show on this a little bit, or we referenced it when talking about a particular Memphis quarterback.
Yep.
What's one of the this should just be a rule, not just for the show, but a rule for life. If you're going to do potentially stupid things, keep it off the internet.
Yeah. I would have thought it is a free space. If I am buying, selling, trading, however you want to...
illicit things.
Why would I leave a paper trail? Or an electronic trail?
Any trail.
Correct. So shout out to
Pablo Plechkovar.
I also learned this week that perhaps Sergio Garcia's temper tantrum at the Masters actually killed Liv.
There's no way.
So this is a report from the Financial Times in London. In April, as Liv golfers floundered at the Masters, golf's most prestigious tournament, Spanish star Sergio Garcia damaged the Augusta National course during a fit of rage in the final round. People familiar with the matter say Yasser Ramayan's embarrassment at the sequence of events helped lead to his decision to pull the plug on the PIF's financing of the rival tour as the fund focuses more on its domestic commitments in the kingdom. So it is important to note this. The number one reason that Liv is likely on its deathbed,
right,
or coming back in some zombie form of itself is the Iran war.
Right.
That's the primary reason. I guess you could actually say this. The primary reason is that it cost $6 billion and it made less than $100 million.
That's a lot of red on the spreadsheets.
But it had been losing money hand over fist up until the Iran war.
In which case, after the fact, it is bleeding even more money.
I can see, though, where you just, like, it had been trending towards the PIF was pulling out.
Right.
Because there were executives that were told before the Masters started, update your resume.
Hey, this is probably going down.
But you can also see where Sergio and his little temper tantrum, you can see where if you're already leaning to doing something, you can see where a guy goes, yeah,
we're done. This is good enough.
Draw up the paperwork.
Just get us out. I mean, it could have been that. I mean, even since then, how many of these other Liv golfers have gone on to have just awful weekends on the course?
Ian Poulter mentioned on a podcast earlier this week that he thinks they're running out of time. Bryson, who appears to be the ringleader of trying to keep everyone on board, is still kind of talking hopefully, which to me says that's going the other direction.
Yeah.
Tyrrell Hatton this week, you get a walkout song on a hole that, I kid you not, they deem a party hole.
Okay.
He selected Queen's I Want to Break Free. And according...
banger. Great job, Tyrrell.
And according to PJ Clark and Joseph LaMagna of The Fried Egg, he bragged about it to other players in the locker room that it indeed was intentional. Multiple well-placed sources believe that Tyrrell Hatton will leave the league after 2026 and play fully on the DP World Tour next season. Now, that's where it starts to get a little more complicated because the DP World Tour has basically told them, now maybe with Hatton, he's worked out a deal because Hatton did pay his fines.
Yeah.
But, like, that's the other thing is that, you know, John Rahm is apparently meeting with high, let's say, movers and shakers.
PGA.
Correct?
Yeah.
Trying to figure out what his path is. Now, it's also important to note, I don't think he likes his options right now.
Who all is on the LIV roster right now that we could see trying to make their way back in some form or fashion?
Rahm, obviously.
Yep.
Hatton.
I mean, it seems like Hatton's made that pretty clear.
Joakim Niemann, probably.
What do we think a guy like Bryson actually wants to end up doing?
So Bryson's in a weird spot where he knows he's probably not welcome, both players and tour.
Right.
But he is also a needle mover.
When it comes to viewership,
correct,
ratings, whether you love him, you hate him, you got to watch him.
Correct. I will never believe that the tour could not use Bryson DeChambeau. And I cannot stand him.
Right. I'm looking through rosters now.
I mean, there's some younger guys like David Puge.
I see LaSasso on here as well.
Michael LaSasso's in a weird spot.
I mean, for those younger guys, like...
I mean, I think some of the older guys are just going to try to play the senior tour. Like, I think that's what Stenson's going to do.
That's fine. Like, I think for the guys who want to go to the senior tour and some of the younger guys who might end up going, even Corn Ferry.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the path back for them is going to either be they've tried to cut a deal to play on the DP World Tour, a.k.a. the Euro Tour.
Yeah.
Or
try and
wait. The question is how long they're going to have to sit out. Because if they have to sit out to 2028, their path is going to be the Challenger Series.
Right.
So the path will be the second version, and they play their way that way. But
for the younger guys, I mean, if it does end up being Challenger or Corn Ferry, like, if they're actually good enough, they'll weed themselves through. Where a lot of these guys, I do think, are going to go that path.
Yeah, I mean, that is the
I mean, that's not non-traditional either.
In golf, you can play your way.
Right.
Where it becomes fascinating is, like, what do you do with the Brysons and the Rahms that got paid God knows how much money? Now, I presume it will be similar. Like, for Rahm, they're going to basically work out some version of the same deal that Brooks got.
Yeah.
Which would be, you're going to pay a huge fine. You're going to probably opt out of equity.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably not going to be eligible for, like, postseason rewards.
Like playing in the playoffs. Well, not necessarily playing, but...
the bonuses.
Right. Right.
Like, Brooks could have played in the playoffs had he qualified.
Right.
He did not qualify, was the problem. Other things I learned, what's dead may never die. Jeannie Buss, I think, thought she had won the Game of Thrones in the Buss family. And it turns out her siblings had one card to play, and they took the one thing from her that she loved above all else, other than herself probably.
The Lakers.
The Lakers. Jeannie Buss thought she had worked out a deal to stay on as governor for 5 years, but the sale triggered the opportunity for her siblings, some of which she had fired, to vote and not need her vote and sell the rest, therefore making her ineligible to be to keep her governor seat. So she thought she had won.
Not so fast.
What's dead may never die. I also learned this week, if your football stadium opened in 2020, it still might need $160 million improvement because Allegiant Stadium is getting $158 million new front door, $75 million of which is coming from public funding.
For the door?
They want a better... They want, like, a better... When you walk... So, if for those that know, like, if you're walking over from Mandalay Bay on that overpass...
Sure.
they want a better entrance.
Uh-huh.
It is going to be in time for the next time they host the Super Bowl.
And that couldn't have been worked out when they built it?
First off, Allegiant looks sweet.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if it's traffic related.
That I could see. That I think is one I could see, and two is maybe at least a little bit more acceptable.
Listen, no one loves to question our beloved commissioner more than I do. I wonder also if it's like plaza oriented so that they can host like concerts before the Super Bowl. Like it's
right.
It's to me, this is clearly the NFL has said you have to do something.
Right.
And Vegas is going along with it because.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.